Welcome to the Northridge Vineyard podcast. We're a real community of people who are passionate about pursuing God and growing in our relationship with Him. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information and other resources, please visit northridge.org.au.
Oh, well, that
would
be fun. Let's do that. I'll take the wiki thing. Well, I could have invited Phil to speak this morning. Should have probably, if I'd known he was going to be here. But Phil's basically summed up the message. I was just chatting to Phil beforehand. So if you get nothing else, right, just get what Phil said. Just ignore what I said. Say it and get what Phil said. So Phil said, we're starting this series on, I don't know if you're a Friends fan. Anyone Friends fans? Okay. So Friends apparently was the second most downloaded series on YouTube. From Netflix in the UK in 2018. So go figure, it's having a resurgence, right? So that's why I've done this Friends thing. Did you see the joke? The one where... No. Yes, thank you. One person got it. Amazing. I did it for you, Anna. It's great. So we're doing this series called The One Where Jesus Meets the Person. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at like the one where Jesus meets the rejected person, the one where Jesus meets the religious person, the one where Jesus meets the... And so forth and so forth. So it's going to be fun. We're leading up to Easter. Greg and I were in the car yesterday. He's like, yeah, so what are you fasting from going up to Lent? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't know. Because I was telling him a story about Rob, who's another one of the community pastors at Northridge. And he went off coffee and I saw him on Friday. He's like, he looked ashen. You know what I mean? Like, and he's his lips are all like blue. And I'm like, dude, what's happening? It's okay. Second day, you know, it's much better second day than the first day. Anyway, so I don't know what you're doing for Lent. Don't know. I'm not doing much, and you can talk to me about that later. If you have a problem with it. If you have a real problem with it, then talk to Phil and Kath. Which is great to have you. Or Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is a good idea. But Phil said something to me as we were talking. And he said, yeah, you know, the funny thing was, nobody seemed ashamed of themselves around Jesus. Like, no one. There was something about Jesus where people just didn't feel ashamed around him. I don't know what your caseload is in terms of your life and how much you stack up with shame. Like, I spent... I spent so many years walking under so much shame, so much shame, so much shame. Like, Maddie's doing this thing with shame and Jesus at the moment as well. It's good, man. And so much shame, just loading up every, and I don't know, if you know shame, you're like, yeah, that's the thing. If you don't know shame, you're like, I don't know what they're talking about, which is fine. But I every single interaction with every person, I'd be watching them and, you know, navigating through. So I'd come out of that interaction without that horrible feeling again, you know. Every interaction. And all through my teenage years and at my primary years and all that, and... I like to say it stopped when I met Jesus. Didn't stop entirely, but gosh, it helped. Because I had this encounter with Jesus when I was 16, 17 or something. And I met him. And the last thing I expected for Jesus to do was for him to hug me. Like, that was, I did not have a grid for any of that. And yeah, that was the first thing he decided he'd do. And that's because he knew exactly who I was and exactly what I needed. I didn't need the big wrap over the knuckles. There were reasons he could have wrapped me over the knuckles, plenty of those. But he's like, you need me to hug you, don't you? And so he did, because he's like that, knows what we need. So my heart coming into this series is for each of us to meet Jesus in a fresh way. And that means we're going, and on some of these things, like we're kind of, and I love this morning, guys, you know, in terms of just choosing to go press into God. Like, it goes pretty deep, some of this stuff, right? It's like, look, it's Sunday morning, do we really have to talk about shame? Well, here it is. Here we are. and we're going to do it anyway. But there needs to be some place in your life, doesn't there, where the wrapping comes off and you can actually meet with Jesus and meet with others. Sometimes it's just meeting with others, isn't it, as well? You know, I was reading this book a while ago, and they were talking about tears, right? Tears, that's interesting, because they're talking about grief and they're talking about tears, and they're going, why did God make tears? And if you think about lubrication of the eye, I think you're missing the point. But, but you know, why did God make tears, and why did he decide that they are excreted from here? That's an interesting place for the tears to come out, isn't it? I mean, theoretically, they could have come out your elbow. I mean, really, like, he's God, right? And when you feel sad, your elbows will drip. And I have a thing where when I'm feeling nervous, sometimes I like the palms of my hands sweat, particularly there. And we've all got like quirky things, right? But God decided, I'm going to put the tears bang here. And if you're really busy, I'll get them running through there as well. Why? Why did God decide that? Charles, come and answer whatever gave you.
Now, isn't it to express what our hearts say that we found good words to?
It is, yeah.
And so it's actually from our heart expressing beyond words.
Yeah. That's, I think it's bang on that. And I think what this guy's reflection was, in addition to that, was that they're visible there. But part of our healing of grief and shame and all the stuff we carry around is other people seeing it and going, I see that. And I'm not leaving. I see that and I'm not leaving. Because it's terrifying, right? Sometimes, yeah. Please trickle out. Like Dave's trickling out. What are they going to do? Me and Dave aren't going to be here next Sunday. but they're there so we can be seen, right? It's a total aside. Let's go on with our passage. Anyway, that's the gift we can give each other, isn't it? We can look. And we don't have to give any advice or anything. We can look, we can nod, and we can stay present. Okay, all right. We're in Matthew, guys, Matthew 8. Matthew 8, yeah, if you... I'm like, who's driving the slides? I am, okay. Matthew 8, 1 through 5, I was looking at Phil. Come on, Phil, change the slide. The slide's up here. It's not, mate, it's gone to me. That's just so funny. Okay, so Matthew 8, verse 1 through 4. This is the one where Jesus meets the rejected person. No, it's a story about the leper. Yeah, I get the point. Okay. If you don't have a Bible, there's one up there, or grab your phone. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside, and suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Okay, so a little bit of context. Do you know what's happened before this? Okay, Jesus has just done the humdinger, the sermon of all sermons, right? So he's been up the mountain. He's laid down the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. Like, this is how it is. Bam, whammo! Probably the most famous and most epoch-changing teaching. Like, you can't go beyond the Sermon on the Mount. If you haven't read it, read it again, whatever. Like, you can't go beyond it. He's just done it. And the crowds are like, if you read the verses before, so the crowd's like, smokes, that is awesome. I don't know what he meant. I have no idea what he meant, but it felt really good. And so they're trying to digest this thing, and the crowds are just following us like, we have never met anyone like this guy. He tells great stories and says really interesting things, and the religious people don't like him. We love this guy. And he's really popular at this point, Jesus is. And he's had the mountain. He's been up in the mountain. The crowds have been following him on the mountain. And here's my little... I read the Bible with two things, right? The Holy Spirit and imagination. Okay, so here's a little bit of imagination. This all happened up the hill, right? Big crowds. And then we've got... We can call him Fred. I don't mind. This guy who Scripture calls the leper. It's not in this translation. It says the man with leprosy. But in the original translation, it's actually the leper. So it's a guy who's defined by his disease. That's him, right? And I reckon, this is up in the mountain, I reckon this guy has been watching it all. Now he's probably watched them head up the mountain, but he's known there's no way I can go near that guy. Because I can't, because if you, I'll tell you a little bit about leprosy in those days. So you're aware of what leprosy is, I assume? It's horrible, right? It is just horrible. So it's a degenerative thing, right? So it's black, scaly, sort of, it's ugly, but then it's also, the nerves stop feeling, right? And so over time you bump into things and limbs decay and leave, and it's horrific. And in the society in those days, leprosy was a really serious thing. And they had precautions. And if you think about what's happening with the coronavirus, it's like that, but on a much, much higher scale. So they had these precautions. So they said, look, a person with leprosy is unclean. So what we'll do is you can't go within 2 meters of a person with leprosy. And if the wind's blowing, apparently, couldn't go within 25 meters of this person. This person with this disease is considered dead, societally. Dead. Had to live outside of the community and basically had to, if they were near anyone, they had to, and they were moving, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine that? Now, the scripture doesn't say how long he had that disease for, but we've got to assume that a significant amount of time. Was he born with it? Was it contracted? I don't know. Contracted, you reckon? Okay, thanks. Yeah, you can't be born with it? Is that what you're saying? Okay, cool. Linda's helping. Thank you, public health, Linda. That's good. So he's contracted. So at some point he knew what it was like to not have this thing. And then he knew the extraordinary pain of the disease and the way that it fundamentally destroyed his life. And I mean, can you imagine that even for one day carrying that sort of stigma and pain in you? One day. And then you multiply it week on week on week. So you can imagine this guy's mental state, right? You can imagine his physical condition, the smell of the rotting flesh, etc., etc. Like we are, I mean, just, it's horrific, right? And just the only thing you can say to people is unclean, unclean. That's all they've got. Maybe he lived in a leper colony, I don't know. But that was his condition. Now what about you? What are your unlovely parts? It's not that, Matt. I love when you kick over the drink bottle. What are your unlovely parts? We all carry unlovely parts. We all have stuff that's dark and scaly and ugly and smelly. And dead. You know that part of you that's just kind of insensitive? Like, we all have those parts. We've been on planet Earth, we all have those parts. Just pick them up, don't we? And my question to you is, what are you doing with them? For this guy, what society did was basically, right, okay, this problem is too big, it's too difficult, and it's unfixable, so we'll quarantine you. Put you over there. And religion said that, because it's a religious society. So religion said, no, too big, too difficult, we'll quarantine you over there, right? And we have parts in our lives that are like that. We look at it, it's like, too big, too difficult, quarantine it. I'll make sure Mick never knows about that. That'll work perfectly. And it can, and you can kind of manage it, right? But then you get to a point where you can't. Have you been at that point? And you have a phone call or something? Where did that come from? Oh, that was that thing that I've been trying to, experience. So we all have it. This guy's living in that condition, and then he hears about this guy Jesus, and he sees the crowd and knows he can't go with the crowd, And so I guess he's waiting. I see him waiting at the bottom of the mountain going, well, I don't know what the chances are, but if he's around, if he comes anywhere close, I have a crack at this. I have a crack at getting near him. Now, I kind of imagine him ambushing Jesus, but that's... In the NLT, it's like, suddenly, a leper appeared. A man with leprosy appeared. It's not in the original translation, but I like that. So I sort of imagine him springing out of a bush. It's like, ha! And the crowd's like, ah! Run, right? Leper! And Jesus is just standing there. Because there's something when you, I don't know where you are with God and stuff, but if you hear the name of Jesus, and it's funny with people, right? They hear the name of Jesus and their ears prick up, right? There's something about the name. Oh, there's something about this guy. I reckon with this guy, it's the same thing. He's like, he's heard about this guy. He's like, there's something about this guy. I've got to go get in front of this guy. So this hope comes in his heart. He hasn't had any hope. And suddenly hope enters his heart, right? And then he doesn't just hope, he acts on his hope. So he springs a Jesus ambush, right? And he gets out and he's right in front of Jesus, stinky, really stinky. And he's probably, I don't know, he probably hasn't violated the 2-meter rule. Like, he's probably pretty good at policing that. Like, you know how you self-censor your stuff? You go, oh, don't want to show that part. So he's probably got the, he's probably got the 2-meter rule down. And then it's like, Jesus, here I am. And then what does he say, guys? He says, Lord, he kneels before him, right? So he's like, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. I don't know how difficult it was for him to kneel, right? Like, he's probably, I don't know how his legs were or whatever. He gets down. And incredibly vulnerable, right? And you can imagine the crowds actually at that distance around him, right, with their quarantine, but really curious too, right? It's like, look at that guy. Oh, he's disgusting. And it's kind of a litmus test for Jesus, because Jesus, just before that, has said, you know what? My words... eternal. My words, build your life on my words, and nothing can smash your life. Nothing. Nothing can really break it, because I'm a sure foundation. He's making all these claims, and it's like, he comes down the mountain, it's like, and the crowd's probably like, really? I mean, you've said all this stuff. Does he, it's fine having these nice words, but does he actually have any, does he have any impact on real life? So it's kind of a test moment for Jesus. It's like, you've got all these claims and all these, you've got amazing PowerPoints and great TED Talks, but can you actually do anything in the life of someone that makes any difference at all to a real person? Like, real person, not a little nice person that needs to be made nicer, but a person who's got it all out of kilter, physically, emotionally, everything's wrong. Can you have any impact on that life? Because if you can't, who cares about your talk? It's just talk. So this is kind of what's happening in this encounter, right, with Jesus. And so Jesus is obviously so aware of all this. The man says, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. If you're willing. So the man has, he knows who Jesus is, and he's got this faith, right? But he also knows that the one question he can't answer is, look, I know you've got the power, but do you care? That's kind of what he's saying. He's like, you've got the power, but do you care? And do you care enough to actually heal me? Me! Because that's all that really matters right now. You can have all your fireworks and everything, but if you can't heal me, then what? I got no hope. I'm stuck in this for the rest of my life. And then what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus gives him his complete attention, doesn't he? And then he does what no one has done for how many years? Touches him. It's like in an Ebola clinic or something like that. Rips off the face mask and gives him a kiss. That's what he's doing. Like, Jesus, do you not understand leprosy? Mm-hmm. You're fried now. You made contact. Everyone knows you can't make contact. You know? So he touches him. And I can't imagine how that would have felt for that man. You know, babies in orphan, like we do stuff with orphans in Kazakhstan and stuff. And babies with orphanages, if they don't get hugged, they die. That's probably an overstatement. You can talk to Kath about it, how I've medically misplaced that. But it's kind of like that. Like, babies need hugs, right? We need hugs. Mm. Like, I know we need less than my son, but but we need hugs, right? And this guy, he hasn't felt anyone's touch, the touch of another, for his how many years, right? But Jesus is like, okay, first you need a hug. Do that. Right. Oh, this is unexpected. And then he's like, yeah, I know. This is what you really needed. So I know the leprosy thing, but you really just needed, you needed my affection. So here's my affection. And then he says, yeah, of course I care. I am totally willing. I am up for this. Let's do this. I am totally up for this. Your faith and your welcome is ruining my heart right now. I want to respond. And so he's just like, oh, yes, be clean. And he just heals him. He just speaks it out. And the guy goes, and I'm imagining stuff growing back. I'm imagining scales. And he's like, wow. And this guy's like, again, I met this guy, again, in Calix, I met this guy who was HIV positive. He'd been clinically diagnosed as HIV positive. He met Jesus and was healed of HIV and went back to the clinic and was clean. Now, can you imagine his experience? Like, I had my death sentence lined up, and now I don't. I mean, and this is, it's hard to communicate, isn't it? But this is what this guy's going through. He's like, I'm no longer that person. I'm no longer my disease. And then Jesus, yeah, no, just don't tell everyone. You wonder, why is he saying that? Why is he saying? Because he says, don't tell anyone about this. No, why would I? My life just got changed. Of course not. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. What's he been crying out for the last however long? What words has he been using? Unclean, 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 unclean. He's like, don't worry. Don't worry. Just walk. And what he needed to do, the interesting thing is that the law only had one provision, and the provision was, this was the provision for, if someone is cleansed of leprosy, do this. But they had no way of cleansing, the law had no way of cleansing anyone from leprosy, but they're like, well, hypothetically, I guess, if they get clean, then do this. But what this was basically, it's like going along to the HIV clinic and getting tested again, and then you get your stamp, no longer HIV positive. And now you can come back into society. So this is Jesus going, I want to restore the whole person and I want to restore your community. You really need this. You really need this card so you can get back into community. So Jesus is thinking of the whole person, right? He's just incredible. He's just incredible. So that's kind of the story. Makes me love Jesus more. Mm. Love how Jesus relates to people. I love it. So what do you need this morning? There's a bit of an elephant in the room on this passage, isn't there? There's the question of healing, right? Jesus actually heals him. And we're, so this church is a vineyard church. And one of the things we actually believe is that God heals today. But unfortunately, probably our fault, not his, but unfortunately, we don't get it 100% all the time. It's kind of like, I heard someone explain it really helpfully. It's kind of like a picket fence. It's like, you know how a picket fence has like a paling, and then there's air, and then there's a paling, and then there's air? And it's like we talk about the kingdom of God coming right now. Like Jesus said, the kingdom of God is present here, right now. So it's not over there. You always think it's over there, but it's actually here. It's like, well, how can you be in Studio Arts? Well, he is. Jesus is here, so the kingdom of God's here, right? And then you go, well, is Jesus going to heal everyone this morning? Well, probably not. It's kind of like a picket fence. You see healing, and then you don't. And then you see it again, and then you don't. And your history might be, I've seen a lot of don'ts and not a lot of pickets, not a lot of palings. This fence has only got crossbeams, so it's got none of the pickets. Maybe that's your story. But guys, one of the things that we believe in our little community is that we have our L plates on, like L plates.
And I followed Mel Plater this morning to church. It was an experience. Dude, you look really green. I'm going to back away from the vehicle. I'll give you plenty of space. We have serious L plates on, right? It's like, have you, like, just hands up from here, right? And just be embarrassed. I really want you to be embarrassed. Have you ever prayed for anyone for healing? Have you put your hand up if you prayed? Okay, so so you prayed for people for healing? Okay. How if you've ever seen anyone healed? Okay, so it's less, isn't it? Prayed, tried that, didn't work. And some of you, like, if you've got a serious condition, and there are a bunch of serious medical conditions in this room, if you've got a serious medical condition, you're like, I'm not doing this again, that's for sure. I've tapped out on the healing thing for a long time. I can't answer your questions. I don't know. I don't know why healing comes to one and doesn't come to another. But what I do know is that if we don't pray, we see no one healed, right? But if we do, we might see some. And I know that Jesus wants to. You look at the way, like, it's easy to be distracted by the physical healing, but Jesus healed the whole person, right? He just heals the whole person, and he even restores them into society. Like, he's working on all these levels. He's a multitasking male. It's amazing. And but that's Jesus, right? So and sometimes with physical healing, you get, like, the person's like, oh, I've got this, and then you start praying for them. The Holy Spirit just shows you, actually, you haven't forgiven that person. Oh, so we're doing forgiveness, aren't we? Yeah, we'll do forgiveness. And then we'll do the rest or whatever it is, you know? So sometimes it's like that, right? So it's just being aware of what God's doing and then being sensitive to what's he actually asking, what's he wanting to do in us each.